Welcome to No Longer Conformed. I'm Eric Garthy, and we are studying the tabernacle, camping with God, based on Stephen Olford's book. In this session, we'll be looking at Exodus chapter 25, verses 8 and 9. A structure of perfection. Building the tabernacle in the wilderness was God's idea. He determined the pattern, provided the materials, and established the position. Pattern, provision, position. Three realities regarding the tabernacle structure. First, God's pattern for the tabernacle. Exodus 25, verses 8 and 9. And let them make me a sanctuary that I may dwell among them, according to all that I show you. That is, the pattern of the tabernacle and the pattern of all its furnishings. Just so you shall make it. The pattern of the wilderness tabernacle was heavenly. Exodus 25:40, and see to it that you make them according to the pattern which was shown you on the mountain. In Stephen's sermon in Acts chapter 7 and verse 44, before he was martyred, he said, "Our fathers had the tabernacle of witness in the wilderness, as he appointed, instructing Moses to make it according to the pattern that he had seen." Wait a minute. That he had seen? Really? Hebrews 8:5, who served the copy and shadow of the heavenly things, as Moses was divinely instructed when he was about to make the tabernacle. For he said, "See that you make all things according to the pattern shown you on the mountain." The wilderness tabernacle was an exact replica of something in heaven. There were seven pieces of furniture in the tabernacle: the brazen altar, the sea, or laver, of cleansing, the table of showbread, the golden lampstand, and the golden altar, the Ark of the Covenant, and the mercy seat. There are three chapters with precise instructions: Exodus 25 through 27, and three chapters with faithful construction in chapters 36 to 38. The first three are commands. The second three are obedience. That is the way with God. He reveals himself from heaven, and then he expects obedience. Calvary is the picture. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 21. "For to this you were called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that you should follow his steps." Jesus lived the sacrificed life. He's our example. And the pattern for the wilderness tabernacle was orderly, with detailed instructions for assembling, dismantling, and transporting, which must be followed strictly. What is the spiritual significance? Well, we would complete the tabernacle before even thinking about the furniture inside. That's the way we think. God began with the furnishings, and he began with the most important piece, the ark. Why? Well, good question. The ark represented the person and presence of the Lord. God must be first, and he begins his work in us from the inside. Salvation before obedience, or it's legalism. Second, God's provision for the tabernacle. What two resources were needed to build the tabernacle? Well, materials and labor. Materials, yeah, Exodus chapter 11, verse 22 and 3. Speak now in the hearing of the people, and let every man ask from his neighbor and every woman from her neighbor articles of silver and articles of gold. And the Lord gave the people favor in the sight of the Egyptians. Moreover, the man Moses was very great in the land of Egypt, in the sight of Pharaoh's servants and in the sight of the people. Exodus chapter 12, verses 35 and 36. Now the children of Israel had done according to the word of Moses, And they had asked from the Egyptians articles of silver, articles of gold, and clothing. And the Lord had given the people favor in the sight of the Egyptians, so that they granted them what they requested. Thus, they plundered the Egyptians. Don't miss this. God provided before he requested it, many months before construction began. But where was the provision? It was with the people. And so God called for an offering to build. Exodus 35, verse 21. Then everyone came whose heart was stirred, and everyone whose spirit was willing, and they brought the Lord's offering for the work of the tabernacle of meeting, for all its service, and for the holy garments. How did they do in the offering? Well, Exodus 36, verses 3 to 7. And they received from Moses all the offering which the children of Israel had brought for the work of the service of making the sanctuary. So they continued bringing to him freewill offerings every morning. And then all the craftsmen who were doing all the work of the sanctuary came, each from the work he was doing. And they spoke to Moses, saying, "The people bring much more than enough for the service of the work which the Lord commanded us to do." So Moses gave a commandment, and they caused it to be proclaimed throughout the camp, saying, "Let neither man nor woman do any more work for the offering of the sanctuary." And the people were restrained from bringing, for the material they had was sufficient for all the work to be done. Indeed, too much. God gave it to the people. God requested it from the people. And those of a willing heart donated. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 7. So let each one give as he purposes in his heart, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loves a cheerful giver. Where giving is a spiritual offering, we can expect much. If the offering is not so much, there's also reason to question the spirituality of the body. 1 Chronicles chapter 29, verse 14. But who am I and who are my people that we should be able to offer so willingly as this? For all things come from you, and of your own we have given you. 1 Chronicles 29, verse 9. Then the people rejoiced, for they had offered willingly, because with a loyal heart they had offered willingly to the Lord. And King David also rejoiced greatly. Again, the model of the early church in Acts chapter 2, verse 44 and 45. Now all who believed were together and had all things in common, and sold their possessions and goods and divided them among all as any one had need. Acts chapter 4, verses 34 and 35. Nor was there anyone among them who lacked. For all who were possessors of lands or houses sold them and brought the proceeds of the things that were sold and laid them at the apostles' feet, and they distributed to each as anyone had need. And sadly, Acts chapter 5, verses 1 through 4, but a certain man named Ananias, with Sapphira his wife, sold a possession, and he kept back part of the proceeds, his wife also being aware of it, and brought a certain part and laid it at the apostles' feet. But Peter said, "Ananias, why has Satan filled your heart to lie to the Holy Spirit and keep back part of the price of the land for yourselves? While it remained, was it not your own? And after it was sold, was it not in your own control? Why have you conceived this thing in your heart? You have not lied to men, but to God." What lessons for us about giving. And then the labor, the manpower. Exodus 31, verse 1 through 3. Then the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, "See, I have called by name Bezalel, the son of Uri, the son of Ur, of the tribe of Judah, and I have filled him with the Spirit of God in wisdom, in understanding, in knowledge, and in all manner of workmanship. And I, indeed, I have appointed with him Aholiab, the son of Ahisamach, of the tribe of Dan. And I have put wisdom in the hearts of all the gifted artisans, that they may make all that I have commanded you. God also provided the labor for the church. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 4 through 7. There are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are differences of ministries, but the same Lord. And there are diversities of activities, but it's the same God who works all in all. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all. And then third, God's position for the tabernacle. Matthew 24, verse 27. For as the lightning comes from the east and flashes to the west, so also will be the coming of the Son of Man be. The tabernacle always faced east, looking for the Lord's appearance. And the structure was always central in the camp of an estimated 1 to 3 million people, which is in Numbers chapter 2. One on the east, Judah, Issachar, and Zebulun. On the south, Reuben, Simeon, and Gad. On the west, Ephraim, Manasseh, and Benjamin. And on the north, Dan, Asher, and Naphtali. The tribe of Levi was situated around the tabernacle with tents by families. And that's in Numbers chapter 1 and in chapter 3. On the east, Moses, Aaron, and his sons. On the south, the Kohathites. On the west, the Gershonites. And on the north, the Merarites. There was a space between the tents and the tabernacle. Numbers chapter 2 and verse 2. Every one of the children of Israel shall camp by his own standard, beside the emblems of his father's house. They shall camp some distance from the tabernacle of meeting. The Levites cared for and ministered at the tabernacle, so their tents were pitched nearby. Numbers chapter 1, verse 53. But the Levites shall camp around the tabernacle of the testimony, that there may be no wrath on the congregation of the children of Israel, and the Levites shall keep charge of the tabernacle of testimony. Jesus must be at the center of our life, and he must be at the head of the church. Colossians 1:18. And he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he may have preeminence. One final note regarding the realities of the tabernacle structure. The construction of the tabernacle had to follow God's act of redemption by power and by blood. He had to take them out of Egypt. Exodus 25, verse 2. Speak to the children of Israel that they bring me an offering. From everyone who gives it willingly with his heart, you shall take my offering. And then verse 8. And let them make me a sanctuary that I may dwell among them. Deliverance from the house of bondage, Egypt, establishing the beginning of their spiritual history. And God dwelt in their midst. Christianity, the gospel, delivered from the bondage of sin to enjoy freedom. Then the Holy Spirit seals by the gift of indwelling. Our body becomes the temple. Exodus chapter 40, verse 33, down to verse 35. And he raised up the court all around the tabernacle and the altar and hung up the screen of the court gate. So Moses finished the work. Then the cloud covered the tabernacle of meeting, and the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle. And Moses was not able to enter the tabernacle of meeting because the cloud rested above it, and the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle. And at the temple, 2 Chronicles, later on, 2 Chronicles chapter 5, verse 13 and 14. And indeed it came to pass when the trumpeters and singers were as one to make one sound to be heard in praising and thanking the Lord. And when they lifted up their voice with the trumpets and cymbals and instruments of music and praised the Lord, saying, for he is good and his mercy endures forever, that the house of the Lord, was filled with a cloud, so that the priests could not continue ministering because of the cloud, for the glory of the Lord filled the house of God. And then we go to the New Testament, to Acts chapter 2, and verses 1 through 4. When the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly, there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. And then there appeared to them divided tongues as of fire, and one sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with one another, began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. The filling followed obedience to God's command. They were all with one accord in one place. You think about that, and you have a great day.